but it's always time to go exploring. Welcome to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. I'm going to try to get my intro going here. No one can hear that. There it is. For producing that bad boy. Today we are honored and humbled to be speaking on the Halkomelem-speaking Musqueam people's unceded ancestral traditional territories. Although our broadcasting studio sits on that territory, our listenership extends through Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territories as well. Today I've got a guest here, a close friend of mine, Izzy LaShawn. Say hi if you like.
Hello.
There we go.
Stoked to be here.
Yeah, welcome. Today, Izzy and I are going to have a little chat about a few different things, but mostly what it's like to work in the outdoors, in the field of environmentalism and conservationism and all that ism things and forestry and multifaceted, you know, eco stuff. But we're also going to chat what it's like to be a varsity athlete, turning now towards more outdoor recreation, where maybe you were spending your time from work, now you're playing as well.
Yeah, totally.
Great. Okay, so to start us off, do you want to introduce kind of yourself, where you're from originally, and how you chose to come to UBC?
Yeah, totally. So my name is Izzy LaShawn, or Elizabeth LaShawn, and I'm from Kailua, on the island of Oahu in Hawaii, which a lot of people think is pretty cool. I also think it's cool, and I'm very grateful to have grown up there. Yeah, grew up, you know, loving the outdoors, but honestly playing a lot of soccer, and kind of came to UBC a large part because of soccer. I had always known I was interested in leaving Hawaii for university. There's a bit of a stigma around staying there for university. It's like, well, if you're going to try something new, like, university is the time, go see the world, and then you can always come back.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to leave. It was a matter of like, where am I going to go? Mm-hmm. I was kind of interested in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
It's relatively close when you think of, like, everything's far from Hawaii,
sure.
But, you know, the East Coast is like a 12-hour flight versus five or six. So I was, looking at the Pacific Northwest, and so it kind of, at the end of the day, came down to the University of Washington or University of British Columbia.
Okay.
I could play soccer here and I couldn't play soccer there. So I was like, well, I'll go to the place where I can play soccer, and the campus is on the ocean and it's beautiful.
It's
so
pretty
hard to beat. So yeah, found myself here. And yeah, I think gone through some transitions since I came here, but we'll get into those as we go on. Yeah.
Yeah. How long did you play for UBC?
Yeah, so I'm currently in my, like, fifth year of being around UBC, fourth year of studies, because I took some time off, but I played my first 3 years at UBC, but within those 3 years, faced injury, which kind of took me out for a year, and also COVID, which we were still playing, but it was definitely a very different experience because the games were always interrupted, and it wasn't like a very coherent, cohesive season. So, yeah, definitely an interesting three-year experience that was probably not, like, traditional or necessarily ideal at a lot of times.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you feel like if it had been ideal, you maybe would have continued for longer?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think, a lot of the things that happened kind of made me realize that there was, you know, a world outside of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And I got glimpses of that when, you know, when I was injured or, like, when COVID was going on. It's like, wow, like, makes you take a step back. Soccer was something I had always done and known. And I was like, oh, what is, like, life outside of soccer? Like, if this thing goes, who am I?
Yeah.
Which is, like, I feel like for anybody that has, like, you know, one main hobby or thing that they kind of let define them, it's, like, important to be like, oh, if I lose this, like, who am I? And have some, like, you know, internal values or things that make you you aside from the things that you do.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought that I often have about, you know, high performance athletes.
Yeah.
It's super, especially those that are prone to injury, like some of the outdoor recreation sports that we see that, like, nowadays, you take one fall and that can be it for
yeah.
you. Like, what's
like season ender, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
It's scary out there. So, you're from Hawaii. Do you surf?
Yeah, I did grow up surfing.
Oh, right.
I feel like that's a question I get a lot
yeah.
is like, oh, you're from Hawaii, so you surf, right?
Yeah.
And luckily, I can say yes.
Yes.
But I do know a lot of people, like, growing up that didn't surf.
Mm-hmm.
I like to equate it to, like, skiing or hockey here.
Yeah.
In that, sure. like, you know, people are like, oh, so you're from Canada. Like, you must play hockey.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people have played hockey.
Yeah.
And there's varying levels to that. Some people, like, hockey is their thing.
Yeah.
Other people, you know, get on skates every winter and mess around.
Yeah.
But
not this winter yeah.
No for lack of ice.
But for sure, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, so yeah. A lot of people, you know, go out like once in a while. Some
yeah.
people, surfing is their whole lifestyle. I feel like I was somewhere in between those.
Yeah.
And a lot of it I attribute to, like, my dad surfs a lot and is a really talented surfer. So we had the boards, the facilities,
yeah. Yeah.
And the, you know, growing up, I had somebody that could drive me and teach me how. A lot of people I knew didn't have parents that
yeah.
surfed, so, like, they never really got into it. They would only go if somebody was taking them. So, yeah, super grateful. Shout out to my dad for
yeah.
wanting to surf.
Shout out Mr. LeSean.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Was he also kind of the one supporting you through soccer?
Oh, totally. Yeah. So he was like a collegiate level gymnast.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So yeah, he's like a pretty dialed in guy. So definitely major motivator throughout my career doing sports, you know.
That's awesome.
Always pushed me, wanted me to be the best athlete that I could be,
yeah.
and, like, you know, held me to a high standard, because that's how he grew up, is just like, you know, sports are super important,
yeah.
and if you're going to do anything, do it to the best of your capability.
Yeah.
So he was definitely a major reason why I was so motivated to do well in soccer and whatnot.
And what did your family think when you decided to come to Canada?
Yeah, they didn't really, there was no adverse opinion.
Cool.
They were pretty, it's, like I said, it's, like, relatively close compared to other places.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they were against it at all. And
right.
it was like, oh, my mom's mom was born in Canada.
Okay.
So they're like, oh, you know,
yeah,
full
heritage.
Circle moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And it actually inspired my mom to, she had never, like, pursued her citizenship
okay.
when she was little.
Yeah.
And so she actually just got her citizenship, because she was
awesome.
Like, oh, well, if you're going to be in Canada, like,
yeah.
I might as well see how this all works.
Yeah,
and since
awesome.
Her mom was, like, Canadian citizen, she was able to get that, which is awesome and exciting.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're not paying international tuition, because, wait, are you? Anyway, moving right along, when you left soccer, what did you feel like? What did your typical day look like before and after, let's say?
Yeah, so I had a bit of a semester of transition.
Mm-hmm.
I had made the decision to leave the team in the beginning of the year, like the calendar year.
Of 2021?
2022.
Yeah.
So the season is in the fall, but we still had games and practice all spring.
Yeah.
But I'm one of the reasons I was leaving soccer is because I was interested in starting to, you know, get some career-related work experience. And being in forestry, a lot of that is not located in Vancouver, the city, because there's not a lot of forest to work with. So I was like, oh, like, you know, I'm, like, looking at this job and I'm going to move here maybe. And then the coach was kind of like, well, like, you know, you really should be training with the team all summer or with a team. And I was like, well, don't know if that's going to be possible.
Yeah.
So kind of my career trajectory and soccer trajectory were misaligned. So it was kind of like, well, maybe I should just be done. Because, like I mentioned, had kind of gone through some injury and just wasn't loving it. It was feeling like a big obligation. Was missing classes because my program's pretty small. So it was like I had one class available at one time. So it was like, should I go to soccer practice or should I go to class?
Yeah.
And so I'd like that's skip right. one class a week and skip one practice a week. So I was kind of doing two things, both to 50%, neither to 100%. So I was like, you know what? I told the coach, I was like, hey, I'm just going to like, you know, skip practice on the day it conflicts with class. Like, so I kind of started going to less practices and I was like, I'm not going to come back. So kind of hung around, like went to training because I still like liked soccer and my teammates were like my best friends. So it was kind of like I eased out of soccer. It wasn't like, and none of the decision was like resentful towards the coach or anybody on the team. So I really didn't want to be like, oh, I quit and never see them again. Yeah. So I kind of had that like transition out of soccer. And in that semester is when I kind of like tried snowboarding and started like realizing, oh, there's like a lot of other cool things to do besides soccer. And kind of, yeah, that was a bit of a eye opener.
Yeah.
And then I was a bit worried that I was going to have an identity crisis.
Okay, yeah, I see.
Because I was like, all my friends were my soccer teammates.
Yeah.
And what happens when fall, even though I had that kind of like, you know, ease out of soccer, what happens when I come back in the fall and all the people that I spent, you know, my first 2-3 years with at UBC are back at soccer and I'm not? What is that going to look like?
Yeah.
And they're going to be super busy. I'm going to be like not busy, I don't think, because I'm not doing soccer. So I'm not going to have practice every single day.
Yeah.
So I took that semester off of school. I was like, you know what? Maybe I just need to do something completely different. And super grateful I did that because, like, I feel like that was a good stepping out on my own moment of, like, you know, I don't know anybody doing this. So it's like, I'm going to go do my own thing and then I'm going to come back. And it's like, I've been gone for a while and kind of can settle into a new sense of self here at UBC. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So is that when you came back, did you get more interested in the ski and board?
Yeah, totally. So kind of came back and it was interesting. Like, it made me think a lot about the nature of relationships because I stayed in touch with, like, you know, a few of my soccer teammates that I had always been closer with on the team and still hung out with them here and there. But it's really like, wow, like, how are friendships kind of created? Are they just a product of a situation? And that these were people I was spending every single day with and, like, hours a day. And, you know, you endure adversity together and really bond through that. But once you take away that situation, like, I was never seeing them anymore.
Yeah.
And they're busy and we had, like, our lifestyles just weren't the same anymore. But I was, like, kind of in search of a new community at that point. Because I was like, well, they're all busy and who am I going to be friends with now? So I kind of like threw myself into the ski and board community because I was like, oh, there's this community of cool people who are all doing things that like I see myself wanting to do.
Yeah.
And so you guys are my new friends, maybe.
There we go.
Yeah.
And best in the waters.
Yeah, that's been super awesome, too.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you are the social coordinator.
Yes, slash videographer.
Slash videographer. Slash graphic designer.
Unofficial
merch.
Sometimes
producer.
Doing graphics.
Is this sporting some of your own merch as well?
This just a t-shirt. I was wearing my hoodie earlier.
Yeah, the hoodie. The Revelstoke edition.
Yeah, Revelstoke exclusive.
Yeah, it's
pretty
it's
nice.
Pretty nice. I would, yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you kind of get into this dynamic role?
Yeah, well, I think I really don't know how it all happened when I think back on it, you know? Like I was saying,
how the elections be.
Yeah, like I was saying, I kind of was like at this point, I guess I had before I even quit soccer, or I guess right after I quit soccer, in that transitional semester, I had kind of like dabbled. I was like, oh, what's this whole skiing, snowboarding thing about?
Right.
And that a was lot like of my
own, hey? That was just going, you found your
well,
own.
Well, so, yeah. So my best friend outside of soccer, she grew up skiing and was like, I'm going to Whistler, like, you want to come? And I was like, I'm not about to be the person, like, walking around the village sipping on my hot chocolate. Yeah. But I don't know, I've never even considered doing a winter sport, really, because there's no snow in Hawaii. So I just, like, it wasn't even on the radar.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, like, that sounds kind of nice. And I knew she'd been going up and, like, always had so much fun. And I was like, I'm going to try this. So I had, like, tried snowboarding. And it's, like, obviously, like, people know it's a very expensive thing to hobby to get into, and I found that, like, you know, you really can't justify going a couple times a year on a student budget, because a day pass is, like, so expensive. So I was like, if I'm gonna do this, like, I'm gonna get my own gear. Like, renting too is super expensive. However, we just started a gear rental program through UBC Ski and Board Club this year for downhill rentals, which has been exciting. That's a different thing.
Brand new snowboard boots.
Yeah, we got some donations, which was super cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's been good. But that program wasn't established at the time where I was like, should I try this? So I was like, I can't afford to rent. I'm just going to buy the cheapest snowboard and set up that I can, and I'm going to do it. Best way to do it is to just bite the bullet and do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Got like a, you know, $70 snowboard binding set up and was like, let's learn how to do this. First couple days hurt so bad. Thought I pulled every single muscle in my body, and was like, woke up the next day and they're like, hey, we're going back up. And I was like, we are? Like, you guys don't, you're not feeling this?
Yeah.
Like, I was a wreck, but I was like, here we go. Like, doing it again. And then I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I gotta do it. So. Yeah, I just kind of kept pushing through, and now I fall down way less, and it's way less painful, so.
Yeah, I've ridden with Izzy, and she's a fantastic rider. I would have had no idea that you only started a few years ago.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
It's really just about, you know, putting in the time, getting out on the hill.
Yeah. As a varsity athlete, I guess you know what it's like to get good.
It's way less time than soccer, so it's like, yeah.
So, snowboarding obviously didn't take up all of your time. You've also gotten into mountain biking.
Yeah, so on my semester off that I took, I was working in Utah.
Oh, sick.
And my dad had mountain biked in, like, post-college time. And he's like, dude, like, and I just quit soccer. And like, had never been able to try mountain biking because it was always like, oh, you can't try that because you could get hurt, which you definitely you can get hurt.
Yeah, that's an interesting part of varsity.
Yeah. So I never tried it. And my dad's like, dude, like, now you don't have soccer. Like, you're in Utah. It's like a mecca.
Yeah.
I mean, so is the North Shore and BC.
No.
But it's like, dude, while you're there, like, you should get a bike. Yeah. And so got a little cross-country bike.
Nice.
Like, you know, rode through the desert. The desert's so beautiful, by the way. Like, so different and awesome. Amazing place that I would definitely, like, recommend everyone spend a little bit of time in the desert if you haven't, because it's very special. Yeah, rode my little cross-country bike around the desert, and I was like, wow, I mountain bike now. Came back to BC, and I was, like, telling my friends that bike. I'm like, I mountain bike now. And they, like, took me out to the North Shore, and I was like, well, not like this. Not like this.
Just so spectrum on the North Shore.
Had to do a bit of a swap out and sell the cross-country bike and get a more robust bike.
Because
both the bike and the body were not enjoying doing that techie jazz on the cross-country bike.
Totally. Well, that's really cool. So biking, boarding, that kind of stuff, that's replacing kind of your other athletic endeavor that was taking up most of your time.
Yeah.
Are you in the gym as much at this point as you were?
No, I feel like I got a little bit spoiled being a varsity athlete. The varsity gym is very nice, and I really like, well, you know, you'd go in with your team at a scheduled time, so it's like you have to go. It's not really like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym, so you don't go. And then they'd have a program for you, so it's like somebody gives you the workout, you do it, and you're done, and you're not like waiting in line and stuff. So yeah, I think I got a bit spoiled with that, so it's a lot harder to motivate myself to go to the student gyms. I do go occasionally, though, but I do. I was there yesterday. Getting the gains, as they say. But yeah, honestly, like in Vancouver now, because, you know, biking and skiing and snowboarding, they're kind of full day ventures, or at least like occupy a lot of time, especially since you have to get out of Vancouver. So in Vancouver, I would say like I run a bit. Pacific Spirit. I'm like, I think Pacific Spirit is like my favorite part of UBC. Having that there is like so awesome. So I'm just like running through there. I'm like, wow, like not, what would I be doing if I lived somewhere where I didn't have this? I really don't know, because it's so beautiful in there and just like an escape.
I saw on your LinkedIn that you had some volunteer positions. Wait,
yeah.
Maybe that's something we can talk about a little bit more after this little song break I have here.
Oh, a song break,
So Izzy has a song for us, but I think I'm going to play a song that I want to play first. I'm sorry, we'll get
Well, don't apologize. I'm now excited to hear this song.
Well, this song is by Frank Mona.
Frank Mona.
Everything in Eden. Nico, the guitarist, friend of mine. You probably know Nico as well. He's playing Ultimate Frisbee in Spain right now, and I miss him a little bit. So I figured might as well give a little plug here. So this is Everything in Eden, off of Frank Mona's single Excerpt A. Here we go.
Haze. Let's go to the airport for the Bruja.
And this is DJ D-Rod.
From
Viva Porú, el ungüento para el alma. This week is Fun Drive here at CITR, the one time each year where we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air.
We said yes to CITR 5 years ago, and we will continue to say yes to CITR 5 years from now. The question is, will you?
Supporting CITR is no gamble. This love is made to last. If you're in a position to contribute, please visit donatetocitr.ca to donate.
Gracias y besitos.
Hey Vancouver, for fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip-hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. We jump back in with our guest, Izzy LaShawn, out of UBC Forestry, and we're going to talk more about that very facet of your personality.
Yeah.
Being a forestry student.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was saying before we listened to that little ditty that Izzy... on her LinkedIn, when I was stalking you earlier this morning, I found that you actually had a volunteer position with the Pacific Spirit Park Board. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. Super easy to get involved.
Cool, tell us about that.
Pacific Spirit Park Society, they're always looking for volunteers to help out with restoration stuff.
Cool.
On the weekends. And it's just a lot of what I did was just, you know, removing blackberry.
Okay,
super fun.
Cool.
They provide the gloves and the tools, and you just show up and hack at that invasive species for a bit and try to make a difference. Also did a bit of like public education through them.
Okay.
Like in a little info table in the park for families and whatnot.
Awesome.
A couple times did that, and yeah, super nice organization they got running there.
Cool.
Yeah.
How'd you find out about that?
Honestly, don't remember. Might have been just me going through the park and seeing them, and I'm like, "What are
cool.
you guys doing?" And they're like, "Yeah, help us."
Cool.
But yeah, you could definitely just look them up. Pacific Spirit Park Society. Yeah, they're just doing stuff on weekends.
Right. Was that kind of your first foray?
Actually, you know what? I think one of my courses was like, you needed to do some volunteer work for extra credit.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, what's... And at that time, I did not have a mode of transportation.
Okay.
So I was like, what's around? And Pacific Spirit Park, right there. And I was Googling things to do, and I was like, if I'm going to be volunteering, I want to do something outside.
Yeah.
I want to be outside.
Yeah.
So, yeah, found out about them and then kept volunteering for a bit. Haven't been doing it as much recently, just because I've been doing other things at the same time on the weekend. But, yeah, when I can go, try to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did that kind of give you a first... taste of what this kind of work could be like, or did you already know what you were getting yourself into?
Kind of already knew. I'd done, like, growing up in high school and stuff, I was always interested in, like, the outdoors, and had a family friend that was running, like, a marsh restoration project in my town. She's now, like, our local councilwoman, which is cool. But yeah, she was kind of advocating for restoring this, you know, sensitive bird area, and that involved a lot of invasive species removal. So occasionally I would go help clear invasive species with her in high school, and when I would go back home in the wintertime for Christmas and whatnot, and also like beach cleanups and stuff. So I kind of knew the physical labor aspect, or like invasive species removal. Invasive species are a huge issue in Hawaii, because it's so adapted to be the way it is. So things that do get introduced can kind of wreak havoc on the ecosystem. Yeah. So it's definitely a big problem there. So I kind of had that on my radar already, for sure. Yeah.
Cool. All right. And you were in field school last term.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about what field school entails?
Yeah, for sure. So for those of you that don't know, in your last semester of your last year or something, in your fourth year of studies in natural resource conservation science and management program at UBC Forestry, you know, you gotta say the whole name because people could get confused. But yeah, so in my last semester, you go to field school, which they actually have just this year created a couple different field school pathways to mainly for accessibility. So it's not the only option now. But integrated field school, essentially, it's the whole semester. It's a 5-course, 15-credit equivalent. And you spend a bit of time in the classroom learning, prepping, writing papers, analyzing data, and then you go out into it's a ecosystem based. So there's 3 modules. First one, alpine. Second one, grasslands. Third one, aquatic. So we got to go different places throughout like the BC, and learn about each ecosystem, learn about how to collect data, how to analyze data. I would say it's the focus of the skills you learn are mainly research oriented, but also the skills can be applied to other outdoor fields, so like orienteering.
Oh, cool.
Using a compass. Okay,
yeah,
stuff.
A little more practical.
Yeah, totally. And some skills I had learned already through jobs that I'd had prior to it, but it was cool to get the experience in kind of like the research lens and like tailored towards how do you like, you know, collect scientific data for writing a paper.
Yeah.
Versus how you collect data to give to a client for
a
job is
that's
a bit different.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the priority?
Right.
So that was interesting and so much fun to, you know, go with classmates out and see new places. I would say, so usually for the alpine module, they go to a cathedral park, but because of a fire last summer, we weren't able to go there. So we went to Manning Park instead.
Okay, awesome.
Which also great.
Yeah.
I got to hike Mount Frosty, and that was just super cool to be able to go camping for school. The grasslands one was in Oliver, BC, which is kind of by Osoyoos-ish.
Gotcha.
And that was super cool because I just hadn't spent a lot of time in or even thinking about those ecosystems, and they're super interesting. And in that module, we learned a lot about like fire ecology and management for fire, which was super cool. And then the final module was in Malcolm Knapp Research Forest, which is out near Maple Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And super nice facility that they have out there, super well established. Learned about fish and stream management and ecology and kind of how different forestry practices could affect different aquatic ecosystems. So yeah, super cool to, you know, I feel like get hands-on experience,
because
I feel like, you know, kind of doing this, what you might consider like an outdoor degree.
Yeah.
It was really, you know, I'd done a couple labs measuring trees and stuff here and there, but it was really the first time I think that we really got to spend a lot of time outside within that degree.
Credit.
Yeah. So I was like, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, I love being outside.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, I wanted to have you on the show to talk about sports, but also because I like to get people talking about jobs that can keep them outside.
Yeah,
they
totally.
Want to be outside. So can you tell us a little bit about the experience you had prior to going to field school? What kind of job experience were you referring to there?
Yeah, for sure. So for the past two summers, I've worked for natural resource consulting companies, mm-hmm. kind of. So the first summer that I did that, I was on the island out on Vancouver Island, and based out of Campbell River, but kind of working all along the coast and the northern part of the island.
Yeah, okay,
northern.
So kind of the more remote areas.
Yeah, and with that company, I was predominantly doing forest engineering,
okay.
which sounds super fancy, but yeah. it's really not that fancy. I'm not like, you know, and I'm not creating some forest, like,
no,
I don't know. When I heard forest engineering, I didn't even know. They're like, yeah, you're going to be doing forest engineering. And I was like, what? What am I doing? You guys know I'm not an engineer, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, don't worry. So it's actually like, some people call it timber development engineering or
yeah.
like layout.
Yeah.
And what that looks like on a day to day is kind of like early morning, boots on the ground in
mm-hmm.
the bush. Forest still there, still up. And essentially you're in the field planning what the harvest is going to look like.
Okay.
And so that could be, you know, going in and flagging where the boundary is for what can be harvested. And everything is also at the same time being mapped. So you have your GPS and your iPad and you're putting in points and you're traversing streams, like identifying where those are on the landscape. Because depending, and also how big they are, because depending on how big every stream is dictates how far away they can cut from it and whatnot. So yeah, so it's very much like hands-on in the field, boots on the ground, tromping through the bush every day. That was that first summer.
And is that kind of, is that what you were looking for?
I think at that point, like, I didn't really know what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And no.
Okay.
It was not what I was looking for.
Okay.
Just because I didn't even really know that was a job.
Yeah.
You know? I never really had thought about it much. And my degree is in conservation, and I kind of had more of this idea of, like, doing more biology
okay.
stuff. And that's what, when I had gotten hired, they were like, yeah, we have some biology work. And then I got there, and they were like, well, we'll throw you on as when projects come up. But they didn't have that many biology projects. So I was like, what am I even doing? Like,
yeah.
I thought I got hired to do biology.
Yeah,
like, what is this?
Good.
But honestly, like, I enjoyed being in the bush all day long.
Yeah.
Would I say it was what I was looking for? No.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and it was fun to tromp around the bush all day and learned a lot about, like, harvest systems and operations that I haven't really gotten in my degree, because
yeah.
my degree is not, like, a forest resource management or forest operations degree. So I feel like I got this, like, new knowledge that I wouldn't have gotten anywhere else, and has led me to have a more, like, holistic understanding of how industry works and how to plan better based on what actually happens. Yeah, and there's some moral and ethical challenges that came with doing that work. I was like, this isn't what I expect to be doing, and, like, I'm a conservation student.
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, we're cutting down these beautiful trees.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's gonna happen, and it's hard to, like, be like, oh, well, so if I don't do it, somebody's gonna.
Yeah.
But that's true. That is
yeah.
the case. And, it kind of depended on the client. Like, some clients seemed to be a bit more greedy with what they wanted and
yeah.
expected. But what was cool about being the person with the boots on the ground is, like, you know, it's really, you can be the one to be like, well, this tree stays and this tree goes.
Yeah.
Whether or not they adhere to your
recommendations,
instructions and the boundary you've laid out, is something else, but that's kind of up to, you know, auditors to decide if they've adhered to the guidelines.
Yeah.
But it a lot of times I was like, I feel like this is not what I want to be doing. Like, am I part of the problem?
Yeah.
But forestry, when done well, is a sustainable practice.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of reframing it to be like, I can be part of what makes this sustainable, rather than like, oh, these beautiful trees are going to be dying. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting dichotomy.
Yeah, sometimes I was very, like, it was very hard and frustrating.
Yeah, I can see how, like, out of all of the, you know, streams in the Faculty of Forestry, sometimes I feel like it's toughest to be in the conservation stream where, you know, maybe some of your peers are learning about highest efficiency waste or best yield and always how to deliver exactly what, you know, your clients are looking for.
Yeah.
Whereas conservation, you're looking at all of this
legislation. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I just hadn't also had any of that, like, academic background, like, leading it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't done any operations courses, so I was like, we're doing what? Or, like, we have to get what? Super interesting, though. And, like, cool. Yeah, kind of definitely moral, ethical dilemmas, but kind of cool to, like, you know, see something that is forest and be like, how do we get this tree that's on this cliff, like, safely for a worker, like, very dangerous job to be going in there, especially on Vancouver Island on the coast where everything is steep and slippery and terrifying, and thinking about, you know, how do we get this tree, like, what system are we going to use to harvest it, and how are we going to build a road at, like, what angle on this slope?
Yeah.
It was cool to think about, because I was like, wow, this is like Minecraft. Like, we're, like, developing this world, you know?
Yeah, and then the following summer, which was this past summer, you went a different avenue.
Yeah, a bit. So I worked for a different company with offices all over the Lower Mainland. I was based out of Chilliwack office, but honestly, by the end of the summer, was spending very little time in Chilliwack, kind of bounced around with them. So the previous summer I had done pretty much exclusively layout work with a smattering of bio opportunities here and there.
Yeah.
This past summer I was hired as an environmental services, so kind of the bio department.
Mm-hmm.
I was hired by them and then was bounced to projects where as needed, so got to do more layout sometimes in, like, Pemberton and stuff, which was cool because, like, that's the area that I've spent time in, but not in a professional setting before.
Right. That is interesting.
Yeah, and then did some silviculture, which was new for me.
Okay.
So, you know, assessing, like, how a block that had been replanted was doing. So that was kind of some cool skill to gain, creating a, you know, planting prescription based on what we're seeing. So it's like, oh, like, you know, this one, they're coming back really thin and we should do a fill plant.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's obviously some, like, rust or this is not the right species of tree to be here. It's too hot, something like that. So that was cool to learn about that. Because similarly, had done a silviculture class with my conservation degree, but that was a while ago. So it was cool to, like, kind of refresh that knowledge and learn it, in the workplace. And then also, so got to do a lot more bio work, which was cool, but a lot more report writing.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so I really like biology in the field. And not that I don't, like, writing reports is great, but kind of, I don't know, and I don't know if listeners have picked up on this, but I like to be outside. So I feel like while I'm young and, like, my body can handle it, like, I want to be, you know, the bush monkey running around. Writing reports was super cool because you could kind of see this project, the whole trajectory. Like, you could see it start from, like, this is what we saw in the field, and here's, like, a map I created based on it and a graph, and here I'm going to deliver it to the client, and they're going to email me back with asking some questions, and I'm going to, like, make revisions
yeah.
and recommendations based on that. So it was really cool to see the life cycle of a project. But yeah, I was like, this is kind of what I want to be doing in 10 years.
Right. Interesting to get a taste of that.
Not really. I don't yeah. really want to be writing big reports right now.
Yeah.
But very good experience. And I was like, dang, like, got to be a little bit dialed to be, you know, writing these reports all the time. And
right. Yeah.
Communicating with clients and yeah. having that interface. So.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
And this summer.
This summer.
You're shaking things up a bit.
I am. So. You know, I've got my consulting experience. Yeah. I've, like, done a little forestry dabble in forestry. So I'm like, you know what? A supplementary experience? Let me do wildfire.
All right.
Yeah, so like I was mentioning with the field school, in the grasslands, we learned about the fire ecology and management. And I feel like, well, you know, anybody that's in BC knows that, like, fire is real and it is on the landscape.
Yeah.
And I just think that anyone that is interested in doing forestry or land management of any sort should kind of incorporate fire into their planning. And I think the best way to do that well would be to have some experience working with fire, because it's so, dynamic and crazy. And really the only way to understand it, I feel, is to experience it. So. Yeah, and I just want to go be outside and run around.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
Yeah.
Well, good on you for doing that. It's not going to be an easy job.
No, I don't think it will be.
Yeah.
A little nervous, but also super excited. But yeah, just kind of.
I think you're well suited.
Another way to diversify the resume.
Yeah, that's awesome. And kind of, still related to forestry, right?
Yeah, forestry adjacent.
Yeah, forestry adjacent for sure.
That's how I'm framing it to the parents,
well,
at least.
But. Not too far back.
You're like, what? You're doing what? But
yeah, well, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Definitely that's keep your goal. Head up.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch for those fallen trees.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get, have you had much experience using, chainsaws or tools like that?
I've used them before.
Yeah, here and there.
Yeah, here and there. When I was, like, out in Utah for my little conservation stint out there, got to use some chainsaws, but not really on big trees, so that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, using a lot of, not a lot of big trees out in the desert.
Right.
So,
mostly brush and whatnot.
Yeah, a lot of it was just cutting through brush.
Yeah. Well, I haven't done that much work with chainsaws, but the little I have done, always a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Nothing like the smell of two-stroke.
Yeah. You
know what they say?
Yeah, make sure you don't put the oil where the gas goes, all right? That's
important.
That it is. It is. Well, we're just rounding up on 10 minutes to 9.
Wow. Time flies when you're having
time
fun, truly.
Yeah, when you're reflecting on your entire existence.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Just talking about myself.
And I'm sure listeners have enjoyed. I think that you offered a really unique perspective from someone who came from varsity sport, now applying that dedication to different aspects of your life.
Yeah, totally.
That's really unique.
That's the goal. Stay busy.
Stay busy? Yeah, well, you're doing it. You're doing a good job. Yeah, I am very impressed by, you know, what you're doing with not only the Ski and Board Club. Izzy also designs shirts for the Mountain Bike Club. Is that right?
I don't know if they're ever going to be made. Do they?
They might be made.
I made the Surf Club shirt, though.
Surf Club shirt.
Even though right a bit... Ski and board versus surf, there's a bit of, you know, age-old rivalry there, but you know what? If they want
art is art.
If they both want to use my designs, more power to them.
All right, well, now we are going to play your song. I'm going to try to do my little jingle here, folks, my song jingle. And my song break jingle. I will get more fluid jingle. With with that eventually. But we have got the song The Mountain by Heartless Bastards.
Yeah, I don't know if you can say that on the... I think Heartless Beep!
No one's listening. Just kidding. Some people are listening. Hello to the listeners. Driving to work, maybe. This song is from the 2009... It's the title track of the album. It's called The Mountain. Came out in 2009.
Yeah.
And it's got 11 songs, and this one's the very first. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. Earlier, Jade was like, well, do you know when you first heard the song? Yeah. And I was like, no, actually, I don't. But I do know that this song makes me feel really profound and inspired, and I really can get into it. You know, when I listen to it, there's a lot of, like, knuckles clench, you know, I want to feel it, you know, I want to feel it. And one time I was like, you know, a little down and out, and I was like, how do I solve this way that I'm feeling? And I woke up really early, and I was like, oh, I'm going to climb a mountain, and you know, I'm gonna listen to the song The Mountain when I do it. And I went and I went on a little solo hike in like, it was like I was just wearing sweatpants, like my pajama pants. Like, I woke up, I was like, I'm doing this, not prepared. And the sunrise was beautiful, and I'm listening to this song, and life was just fine. And yeah, I think that for me, at least, the solution to most of my problems is spending time outside, and sometimes that includes listening to music that I enjoy while in those spaces.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, folks, here you go. Clench those fists.
Yeah, really, really try to feel it.
The mouth.
Oh,
this has been Outdoor Pursuits with Jade and Izzy. Thanks for listening. You can say bye if you want.
Shoot, stop again on people.
10-year radio to the CITR 101.9 FM on a Tuesday, specifically at 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. for saxophone Hello Primiti or saxophone La Nuit. Hosted by moi, accompanied with the improvisationalists, saxophonists, composers, and musicians of our great era.